Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Wednesday, January 14th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. It's now been a month since a deadly mass shooting at an Australian Hanukkah celebration. 15 people were killed, including a rabbi with close ties to Kern County.
To him, everything was a wonder. Everything was a story. Everything was a miracle. And it's a special way to live life.
Coming up, we speak with the Bakersfield family mourning the loss of Rabbi Eli Schlanger. We'll have that conversation right after these headlines. Fresno's taking a step towards becoming a professional soccer town. City leaders gathered at City Hall on Tuesday to announce the next steps towards bringing the sport in a professional capacity to the Valley. KVPR Samantha Rangel has more.
Fresno is currently in an exclusivity period with the United Soccer League to explore this idea. Mayor Jerry Dyer said the plan had been in the works since 2019, and the advances come at a good time with the World Cup coming to the U.S.
Fresno is ready to have not only its own soccer teams, professional soccer teams, but Fresno's ready to have its own dedicated soccer stadium right here in downtown Fresno.
Officials aren't saying yet where this new soccer stadium would be, but they do say it will be big enough to host more than just soccer matches. USL Deputy CEO Justin Papadakis says, though, soccer is the main attraction.
Every match is a two-hour commercial for the city, and we want the nation and the world to see the community living room, is what we call our stadiums here in Fresno.
City leaders expect the economic impact to be big. With KVPR News, I'm Samantha Rangel.
Officials also say the stadium could be built as soon as March of 2028. A group of residents and city leaders will gather today in Fresno to announce an effort to fund transportation projects. This comes a week after the effort to renew Measure C collapsed. A board with the Fresno Council of Governments voted last week not to renew the $7 billion tax measure. It expires next year, and proponents were preparing a ballot measure to renew the tax in November. The measure funds transportation projects across Fresno County, and the board, which is composed of various Fresno County mayors, had already approved an expenditure plan late last year. But the measure was abandoned over continued disagreements among the officials. Fresno school leaders are asking a major hospital system to keep treating retirees following an insurance disruption. One of Fresno Unified School District's insurance providers was not able to resolve a contract with Community Health Systems by the end of last year. Superintendent Misty Herr says that has left about 1,500 retirees without care. And she's appealing to the health system, which includes Clovis Community Hospital and Clovis Regional Medical Center in downtown Fresno.
We don't want to get involved in your negotiations, but whatever you're doing, you got to reach agreement because it's impacting our retirees. And then two, continue in the time that you're doing all of this, continue to see our retirees. Don't cut their services. Don't cut their care.
The retirees are covered by Aetna. The Kern County Sheriff is weighing in on new details related to the child abuse case against former county supervisor Zach Scrivener. A prosecutor recently accused Scrivener's mother, Kathy Scrivener, of urging her grandchildren to not speak to authorities. Sheriff Donnie Youngblood told a local radio host that camera footage he reviewed appears to back up this claim. Authorities were called to the Scrivener home in 2024 following claims of sexual abuse of one of his children. Scrivener himself had also been stabbed. Kathy Scrivener serves on the Kern High School District School Board and is mandated to report child abuse. The foundation that manages donations and investments for Fresno State is facing criticism over how it's handled funds. The Fresno Bee reported last week that a review by the California State University System found that the Fresno State Foundation put millions of dollars at risk of fraud. Among other things, the 32-page report found that the foundation did not have an adequate system to oversee its investment accounts. The CSU review said this increased the risk of fraud or misappropriation. Faculty members told the Bee they had also raised concerns for years.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at Fresno State, providing short courses and activities for everyone 50 and better. Registration for the spring semester is now active, and more info is available at fresnostate.edu/OLLI. The Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, where learning never ends.
And now to our main story. It was 1 month ago today that a terrorist attack took the lives of 15 people at Australia's Bondi Beach. The attack earned attention worldwide.
It is Australia's worst mass shooting in nearly 30 years after 15 people died, including a 10-year-old girl, during celebrations for a Jewish festival in Sydney.
Two gunmen, a father and son, according to police, opened fire on a Hanukkah celebration where hundreds had gathered for the start of the 8-day Jewish holiday.
Those were news clips from the BBC and PBS NewsHour. And while the attack took place on the other side of the world, the scars and aftermath of the attack are being felt deeply here in the San Joaquin Valley.
5 weeks ago, I was having phone calls with my brother. And now, 5 weeks later, I stand here in shock.
That's Rabbi Shmuley Schlanger. He leads the Chabad of Bakersfield Synagogue. The rabbi's brother, Eli Schlanger, also a rabbi, was killed in the attack. Just days before the mass shooting, I had spoken with Shmuley for our December 12th episode, and we discussed the significance of Hanukkah and the lighting of a local menorah. Since the attack, we've kept in touch with Shmuley's family, and on Monday, Shmuley honored his brother at a memorial service in Bakersfield.
Our relationship was actually rooted in spirituality and holiness. It was really built around purpose, around responsibility.
The memorial was intimate, at times somber and celebratory, and it included prayers and psalms accompanied by piano. Dozens of people filled the meeting room at the synagogue, including more than 15 rabbis from different parts of California. And speakers included Bakersfield Mayor Karen Goh and Shmuley's wife, Esther Schlanger.
Tonight, we are focusing on remembering those we lost and on building resilience and strength in their memory.
After the memorial service, Central Valley Daily producer Jonathan Linden spoke with Esther Schlanger, and she first discussed how she and her husband are feeling right now after such a tremendous loss.
Honestly, in the beginning, there's a lot of activity because there's travel and Shiva and things that have to be done. I think now is when the real loss kind of settles, because that's when you kind of realize this person is not coming back. There really is that loss. It's real. I think in the beginning, especially because this was a terror attack, it's not expected. It was shocking. There's trauma involved. There's violence. So you're also dealing with that trauma and the unexpected. You don't expect your 41-year-old brother to be killed and shot in the back and die. So that is a whole level. You know, people pass and people are sick. And, you know, so this, you're dealing with the shock of it and then having to absorb it and believe it happened. So there's that whole layer of trauma and disbelief and then coming to terms of reality.
I think there's something to be said, too, of this just wasn't some small attack. This was felt globally, it seems like, throughout the Jewish community.
Right. I think, you know, I'm sure you heard the rabbi speak before, that after October 7th, there was a surge of anti-Semitism. And there's been a lot of blame of why. Instead of people taking responsibility and say, we've got to stop this surge, well, you know, they reasoned it for the blame on the state of Israel, the blame on this and the blame on that, when in fact, that's not the case. You're just you're giving credence to the anti-Semitism and the anti-Semitic acts. You're giving it a cause and a reason, and you're actually excusing it. And I think it was felt worldwide because, again, you can't label this in any which way. This was an attack specifically on Jews celebrating a Jewish holiday. You know, he went to Bondi Beach not to do a terror, you know, sometimes it's terrorist attacks where they're just looking to terrorize people, right? So they'll go and blow up a whatever. But this was specifically, they aimed at the part of the beach where the Jewish men, women, and children were. They didn't aim at the stores behind them. They didn't aim at the sand. Their target were Jews. That's it. Nothing, no one, whether they were practicing or not, whether they were Israeli citizens or not, none of that mattered. They were Jews. And that is what this world has to begin to understand, that there is a real surgent of anti-Jew hate. Anti-Jew, whatever you want to label it, call it, it's anti-Jew. And it's not the problem of the one who's being hated on to solve it. It's the world has a problem. Their societies are going down the drain. Why is hate being so, why is it surging? Why is it rising in society? Society has to look at it and say, we have a problem here.
I want to get back to the loss of your brother-in-law, Rabbi Eli Schlinger. I was wondering if you could expand more about how your faith influences you in such a time of mourning.
So our faith teaches us so much about that there's life beyond our reality that we see, our physical reality. We learn that there's a soul. The soul has a journey. We learn about God and his plans, and we don't understand them, but there is a greater purpose and a greater cause. So it while we are suffering immensely, there is comfort in the fact to know that this is not the end. Yes, Eli was killed in cold blood in front of his wife and children, but it's not the end of his story. It's not the end. He has a soul, and the soul keeps on living. We believe the soul, we connect with the soul in even after the physical body is buried, and that gives us a lot of comfort.
So today, you had this service remembering the life of your brother-in-law, Eli. I was wondering if you could share a story about your brother-in-law that really stands out to you as something that exemplifies the kind of person that he was and how he carried himself with others.
Well, Eli was a storyteller, so he took everything and became, and he made it into a story. He always saw everything to him was a miracle or the most amazing thing happened, and I used to laugh at him, and not in a sisterly way, because we would tease. We were in Sydney a couple months ago in past March. His son was bar mitzvahed, and he was talking to a congregant in his Bondi synagogue, and he was sharing some finangled long story about our Chabad in Bakersfield. And I laughed at Eli, and I said, Eli, you need to write our book. You have more stories about us than we have of us. And he was just he saw life. To him, everything was a wonder, everything was a story, everything was a miracle, and it's a special way to live life. That was Eli.
During the service, you made this comment that how people respond to tragedy matters most. Can you expand more about what you meant by that?
Well, tragedy can make us angry, which is fine, right? Tragedy can make us, want to disappear. There's so many responses we just as human beings, how we can react when the worst happens, something you can never imagine. But how we respond matters, because if we focus on the anger, and there's a lot of anger here, then you get lost in it and you become bitter and nothing looks good anymore, and you don't make change that way. So I think responding in a way that is passionate and how can I move from here and take this experience and make it meaningful. His life, it shouldn't have been a waste, this tragedy. It's very important.
That was Central Valley Daily producer Jonathan Linden speaking with Esther Schlanger. Her brother-in-law, Rabbi Eli Schlanger, was one of the 15 lives lost during the terrorist attack at Australia's Bondi Beach. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden, Carrie Klein, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.